Good evening. It is, Wednesday, July 16, 2025. I want to bring this meeting with the National Airport Authority Board of Directors to order. Roll call, please.
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Vice Chairman Lahr is absent this evening. Treasurer Heath.
I'm here.
Director Duquette.
Here.
And Secretary Holland is not present this evening either.
Okay, we still have a forum with three people present in the room, so we can move forward. So, public input as it pertains to this evening's agenda. Do we have any public input this evening? Okay, I'll take that as a no. Minutes, approval of the NAA public minutes of May 21, 2025.
Report a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, all those in favor to approve the May 21, 2025 public minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's unanimous. Motion carries. Treasurer's report, approval of the May 2025 and June 2025 financial statements, subject to audit, take it away, Dave.
Okay, this is a kind of combined May and June. I'm not going to go through each individual month of year to date. Nothing again out of the ordinary in the last couple of months from an operational perspective has happened. We're still at the let's flip down to page, I think it's somewhere around 57, prepared an income statement. We're finishing the year pretty strong. Thinking, after budgeting an $18,000 deficit and worrying about that, we actually ended up with a $46,000 surplus. So there's reasons for that. A lot of it was money that we did budget didn't get spent, or I guess the answer is nothing broke, or fewer things broke. We had some significant interest income because of the shift in interest rates. Susan's been doing a good job at moving stuff into CDs and whatnot. We got a planned number of 7,000 that we are filling up the reserve for the fuel farm maintenance. So rather than take a hit at the end of the year, we're kind of reserving for it over the years. The tri-down parking is a little bit better off than we thought it was going to be. Electricity is coming in a little bit better, even though it's still higher than it was, better than budget. So we've got, about $46,000 surplus right now. There might be a $4,000 hit soon, but we didn't talk about the tie-down problem with the people that owe us money for tie-downs.
Right.
Has that been resolved?
Yeah.
Okay, so we may have to take a hit on that, depending on what the status is.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Sure.
We do have an arrangement, correct?
On one of them.
Right,
one of them
which is
significant
amount is from the debt. Oh,
okay, good.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right, so
there's
a
couple of them, others that are still.
And
that's more than half of that deficit.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what I was thinking about, last I checked, there was like a $4,000 number that between a couple of tenants that was at risk.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that someone has to fix it.
It's in the process of they're making payments,
okay.
Regular payments, correct?
Okay. All right. Good. So then we may not have, it may not shift that much, but I want to, before the auditors come, I want to go through and scrub this a little bit more. And, particularly on the balance sheet, Susan and I talked about the famous unbilled receivables. Yeah, beat ourselves up about that almost every time we sit down. And I think based on what Nick is going to tell us tonight, and Susan probably will help with that too, is where we are on all these projects, who's going to owe us money, who's going to them what should be booked and what shouldn't be booked, kind of thing. And so on the balance sheet, that, page 25. We did move some money into the CDs, as we talked about last meeting. So we have two CDs now. One was recently renewed. What's the new merchant maturity date of that, Susan? The big one there? It's like the 600,000
unit. Oh.
You said 9 months, was it?
Right, 9 months, so 9 months from.
So it'll be March 25th, 26th? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we have one coming up in January of 86,000. We'll figure out what to do with that, and then last us till March. So we still left enough money in our operating and project account to operate. We're not gonna have to worry about bouncing checks. So.
I received the invoice for the new system that we have put on our roof here.
Oh, the HVAC?
Yes, we put them up on the roof, but I think we keep it after writing them.
Okay.
But it was dated for June. So yeah. Do you want me to put that into last year?
Yeah, it's June.
Yes. So it's not in this report here, so that's about $45,000 for the expenses.
I'm not sure it's an expense, but it's an asset, right? So it's
right.
But it's cash flow.
Yes.
So we're going to, so our cash position, so it's not in payables, right?
It's not in payables, no. It's not taken out of the expense either.
Right. Well, it's never going to be taken out of the expense because it's going to go into a fixed asset.
Okay.
So it's not going to hit our bottom line.
Okay.
And that was the unit on.
Here.
One
of the four units on this program.
Okay. That's one that we're, not the tower one.
Right. We did the tower a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
We just did this one. Snoo did that one.
Yeah.
So it was really only another one older unit on the building.
Okay. Right. Okay. So, then that, yeah, so but what that does is that if we did book that, it would show, payables increased by, so the payables are no longer $9,000, but more like $55,000. So the payables would be $45,000 higher than what we're showing today, right? Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Okay. So that affects our liquidity, but not our bottom line. But we have, a combined 320-something thousand in cash. Operating about CD projects and operating, so we're still covering that.
Yeah.
All right, so that's kind of the receivables we just talked about a minute ago. They're in good shape. We'll get to the other stuff later. So anybody have any questions on this?
It's pretty good underrun on building and grounds maintenance.
Yeah. That's
what
I said.
Like Dave said, we got lucky.
Yeah, I was going to wonder if that was a luck of the draw. Or
we all know that could turn around in a heartbeat. Yeah. So
but that's why I'm not jumping up and down because of a surplus. And that's the thing aside, because we know it's could be.
Learn how to do even more with less.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Probably
the stars aligned.
That's a little bit of both. Yeah.
Yeah, the warranty on the airport ran out a while ago.
Right. You can get the extended inside of an
extended. You have a personal first shield, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
When your dishwasher breaks, they come and put a new one in. There was one other one, fuel farm maintenance. That was, $6,400 on the run.
Well, that's what I was talking about. That's the reserve that they were doing on purpose.
Right, so you can accrue for later, so you don't get a big bill.
So that's so really, of that 46,000 surplus, we know it's 7 out of 1,000 of it. It's kind of on the books, but it's not
in the books.
Yeah. And when we're going to be accruing it, it's sitting on the balance sheet under it. It should be there. Leave it under food expenses. Anyway, got it.
else.
Very good.
All right, I'll put forth a motion to approve the May 2025 and June 2025 financial statements, subject to audit.
Okay, second?
Yes.
Okay, discussion? Okay, all those in favor of approving May 2025 and June 2025 financial statements, subject to audit, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that motion carries. That brings us to communications. I guess we've had another mail from about Strong.
Love letter?
Follow up here.
Yeah, follow to air traffic patterns. Chris, where do you think we're headed with this?
I gave a follow up response to him for some coaching from legal. And it essentially boils down to the gentleman owns a property within the airport traffic pattern. We do our best to follow all the rules, regulations, laws. There are no regs or laws being broken. Not that we're not sensitive to the neighbors. Respond as best we could.
Have you talked to Stephen
all that week? I have. He just suggested that I respond to him. And,
okay.
You know, there's a term that's called you come to the nuisance, to be blunt about it, in a legal standpoint. And the airport was here since the 1930s. And people know that the airport is here when they buy properties in the area.
Just if I could throw some perspective on this thing too, I did some work on this before it escalated again, and the bottom line is that whatever these neighbors are, their facts are just wrong. I mean, they're claiming that there's more operations, there's more flights over the housing, and there have been for 30 years, and blah, blah, blah. The fact of the matter is there are half the amount of operations out of this airport today than there were 15, 20 years ago.
So year over year numbers are definitely off too.
So the facts that are the real facts do not support what the complainant's facts think they are. So I think it's just whatever the course is about, I'm not going to lose a lot of sleep over it.
And as well, David, in his research, these aircraft that were reported to be too low, et cetera, they're following all the rules.
Right.
We have ADS-B data, and quite frankly, when you're in the airport traffic pattern, you have to descend to land, you have to climb through certain altitudes, and this gentleman lives in the air traffic pattern. Interestingly enough, he expressed to me in the last meeting that we had that he would like to take flying lessons.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
We would love for him to take flying lessons.
Sure.
So I don't think he has a hatred for aviation. What we talked about was the fact that he worked for a living for many years. He's recently retired, and now he's sitting at his house, and he's noticing the aircraft more. But like Dave said, our numbers are way down compared to what they were several years ago.
And the other thing I discovered in my look-see in this thing is that, which was a good education for me, was that, you know, everybody looks at this FlightAware stuff and Radar 24 and all that. Well, the altitudes that you're seeing that's reporting is not the real altitude. I'm not sure, I forget what it is, you know, it's not
GPS,
it's GPS or something. And because when I was in the tower, and when I sat in the tower and watched, you know, for a good amount of time, and watched their radar and what that altitude is reporting, and I looked out the window and saw the airplane and what their altitude is, in real time I'm looking at FlightAware and Radar 24, and the altitude is at least 300 to 400 feet less than what's in reality. So a lot of times, you know, in this case, and I mentioned that to this fellow, and I said, look, you
data wrong, because you're going off of a flight aware versus the, you know, so you say, oh, these are 800 feet, or flight over half the 800 feet, and, well, no, they're not. And I saw that visually, and the power radar, as well as, you know, I compared it to that, to FlightAware, and FlightAware is just not accurate.
And in addition, we had a lengthy meeting in my office. Where this gentleman lives, the planes where predominantly were using runway 32, they're flying right traffic over his neighborhood or that area, and they're at a low power setting because they're about to be a beam the threshold. They're not even, they're just about there. So as we all know as pilots, we've reduced power already in the pattern, so it's not like they're at a high power setting. And I went into that neighborhood, as I have a friend and a former employer who lives about a street away, and I sat there one night just to, you know, check things out, because, you know, we do take these things seriously. And what I noticed was the road noise from Henry Burke Highway was louder than the aircraft flying by, and quite frankly, half the time when I would see a plane flying over, I couldn't hear it because of the traffic on Henry Burke Highway, which is kind of a drag strip. You go there on a Saturday night like I did, and it's motorcycles.
I live right off Henry Burke Highway.
Yeah.
I can't hear, I see the airplane sometimes,
right,
but you can't hear it.
But they're at such a low power setting, you'd really have to be looking for it to notice it. Now, that being said, my friend has a pool, and he goes, oh yeah, I hear him all the time. He goes, as I'm laying in my pool, staring straight up into the sky, and... but he said, they're not...
Is it a particular...
They're not loud at that point.
In the weeds here, but I mean, I know there's a twin that flies around on the weekend, sometimes, you know, a bike team over my way. I mean, is it a particular one airplane or something that has been kind of creating a... their lessons,
no,
the
but
noise, or?
We have several flight schools on the field, and as we know, you know, in private pilot training, there's a lot of pattern work, and so there's a lot of repetitive flying, and this gentleman suggested that, you know, they fly their patterns miles away, which is not practical and not safe, and not teaching what we need to be taught as pilots,
and the only time it's really an issue is if we're using 1-4 and we have traffic, and that's, you're still on a climb. But that's only
on.
But the bottom line is that the claims that, you know, there's more operations, more noise, more, it's just not.
These are all typically Gowan and base legs.
Yeah.
I mean, those are like gliders.
Exactly. And we have noise abatement procedures under the highway before you're making your turns, reduce power.
Yep.
Same thing, runway 32, if you make a left traffic over these neighborhoods, either way. Climb to 900,000 feet before you make your turn.
Do you get any
power.
Other crosswind complaints on 32? Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
Just that there was. There,
not many.
Ago, we had somebody over on Blackwood, Blackstone, anyway, over off of Indian Rock Road. We had somebody there that was making some five expressions of noise. But again, it was the same kind of thing. It was just the house there.
And I know several people that live in that neighborhood, and there isn't a single one of them up there that doesn't know the airport is here.
Not sure.
And most of them actually like
it.
In fact,
the irony in the whole thing is that the majority of the people that built in that area
live right there.
No, they're air traffic controllers.
Oh. Yeah.
When the center was being built. It's funny.
Well, I think
I want to
move on.
Yes.
Me too.
Totally. That brings us to reports. The first is the power report, and as was mentioned a moment ago, our numbers for May are 5,284 total operations, up 1,153 versus during April, or 28%. However, that's down 1,152 operations year over year. June, 5,324 operations, 40 more than the previous month, or 1% positive change. The is still down 1,409 for, you know, year over year, and year to date we're down 22% still.
Huh.
And, well, I think part of it has to do with like 14 weekends in a row.
Very soggy spring.
From March 10th till whatever.
So that brings us to the manager's report.
Okay. Recent events with the New Hampshire Aviation Museum flying a barbecue, great success. Although the weather wasn't very cooperative, we had two planes fly in that broke out at 800 feet, shooting ILS approaches in that day. But the barbecue itself was sold out, and they had a great turnout, as always. They had a few people from the airport bring their planes over to it. So, great event. Look forward to having them next year again. Upcoming events, we have our Wheels and Wings scheduled for September 20th. I have some commitments already from the Guard unit in Concord. They're going to bring the Blackhawk helicopter again. State Police is committed. Boston Med Flight is committed. And obviously we'll have a lot of people, our own tenants here, that are committing. And again, we're looking forward to another great event. Hopefully the weather pans out, although I say that last year the weather didn't really pan out. We still had nearly record turnout for the event. As we were considering canceling it because it was raining, thousands of people came in. It didn't stop them. We do not have a rain date scheduled for this event. It's just too much to coordinate with all the participants. So we're praying for some good weather. Other items of interest, Joyce Heating and Cooling, as we already discussed earlier, replaced a failed rooftop unit.
That's where our TVU is.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you a little code, Dave.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. They replaced not only the RTU, but all the dampers and thermostats. We used to have what were known as smart dampers and dumb thermostats. And now it's vice versa with the newer system. There are smart thermostats and some dampers. That's how they put it to me.
Is that why we feel air in here tonight?
No, this actually has nothing to do with that
system. Oh, really?
I just treated you to a couple degrees here, knowing that we had a surplus. But, so that RTU controls everything on the ramp side of the building, all the offices in the front. So that's working great.
Susan's office was open. Refrigerator around there last week.
And so during during the install, Head Eldon worked with these guys all week so that he would know the system inside and out, and he does. So that was a good thing. Very grateful to those guys at Joyce. They actually did a great job. I was very impressed. They picked the hottest day of the year to put the RTU up, and then they worked inside the rest of the week.
Perfect.
So, on the 26th of June, I met with a gentleman named Kevin Kennedy from Allied Universal Technology. He's working up a quote for a gate access control system. I've met with Brad Peskovitz from OneSource, as well as a gentleman from BNS Locksmith. And we received the quote from BNS as well as Brad. I talked to these gentlemen recently, and we're actually revising the quote from OneSource Security. We wanted to add some features to it. And one of the things was initially we were designing a bridge-based communication system, and I ended up taking the scissor lift all over the airport to all the gate locations and went up as high as I could, and we realized that without a lot of repeaters, that it wouldn't be practical to put that system in place. And so we're now looking at a cellular-based communication system, which, according to these guys, everybody I've talked to, is more reliable.
When you say bridge, that's like a
signal
site,
bridge.
A line of sight.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So with all, you know, the instructions, yeah, I have access to the tower. Believe it or not, I still have obstructions up in the tower if I were to put the receiver up there. And it gets complex and costly to put all these things in.
The cell tower's about to cost you money, so.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But anyways, everybody was pushing for the cell-based system, and I have a friend who's an electrical engineer, rather bright guy, and he concurred with the cell system. So I'm actually meeting with OneSource tomorrow morning and LJ Allen from Gallagher, who I'm kind of leaning towards their system. It's rather state-of-the-art, cell phone-based, all the bells and whistles we were looking for, and their initial quote was a lot more reasonable than the quote that we got from BNS. And so we're going to pursue that, as well as Kevin Trinity came in, and I told him what we're looking at, and he has set up the system at Manchester Airport, and so he's going to work up a quote, and he's going to bring me up to Manchester, and I'll get to see all the system firsthand. It's a large expense, and, you know, technology changes every day, so we obviously want to get the latest and greatest technology at the best price. And
this is offering, because this is part of the, you know, we talk about budget all the time, you know, operating budget. This is part of a CapEx budget process. You know, we've got systems, we have infrastructure here at the field that's been in place for 30 years or more. And so, you know, we need to keep, especially, you know, with all the improvements going on, that we're going to be going on by private investment, we should make an investment on our behalf as well to keep this airport, you know, at a higher level. And so, so there's other things that are going to be in a CapEx budget that this is what I talked about. So maybe one of the vehicles that doesn't break them. But anyway,
we're also trying to incorporate, or we're going to incorporate, some camera devices in these gate control systems. And with the cellular-based system, it should work flawlessly. And, you know, Susan and I have access on our phones to manipulate all this, as well as when somebody comes in for a gate pass, it streamlines the process so we don't have to go out to each and every gate to program them. We will simply give them access on their cell phone as soon as they go, or they can still use the old cards, too, until we transition everything. But all that information is now contained on the card or the phone, so it gets updated the moment they go near any of these gate access.
Let's try that. If somebody leaves the airport, we can turn them on, right?
Yep. So that's what's going on with that. On the 27th of last month, I met with the CEO of Boston MedFlight, Rick Kennan, and his CFO and the gentleman in charge of medical services, and they're interested in setting up a base of operations here at Nashua. So I met with Greg Leeson, and we talked about it, and knowing what the concerns for Boston and needs of Boston MedFlight were, I suggested Hangar 81. They want ramp frontage, they need instant access to get in and out, and they need a hangar that's adequate enough to hold their helicopter and their crew, their ambulance, and a pharmacy within that unit. And so 81 covers all the bases. The hangar is the perfect size for the flight operation.
A small size 81, right?
Yes. And there are offices available to that. And there's also, you know, opportunity to develop a couple more offices in there that they may need. So I met with Rick. Greg was unavailable. He was on a trip. And Greg has subsequently had a phone call. And they were very interested in everything we showed them. I also showed them Hangar 9 and also showed them, I'm sorry, we talked about 91, but we didn't go to 91. 91 wouldn't work for them because it's down the alley and they wouldn't have, you know, unobstructed access at all times. The problem is if there's other people operating out of those hangars. So, long story short, they're very excited about this. And if you look at Boston MedFlight's territory, Nashua is very centrally located. They do an awful lot of businesses. They did today, and they do almost every day, with Southern New Hampshire Regional Medical Center, as well as St. Joseph's Hospital. Hospitals in Manchester, Lowell. Yep. Well, they're constantly back and forth to Boston.
It's so funny because it's happening. Because I have a
So I'm hanging around my deck at my house, just to the south end of that shore, and I hear this helicopter going over, and I said, I'm going to pull out on FlightAware. It's in Boston Med Flight, and it's almost every night between Nashua and Boston. And so some hospitals, like before I came here, about 3 o'clock this afternoon, they're doing it. Left here,
yeah, we do trans, but most of their stuff, a lot of people think that the med flights, everything they do is
back
on scene, where that's actually a small percentage of what they do. The majority of what they do are patient transport, hospital to hospital. Now, all these patients are usually in critical or near critical condition, so it's really important that they have access to the LD Nashua. They also use the, there's a, on the parking garage at Southern, there's an LZ.
Yeah.
That one's difficult for them to use because it's an elevator that comes up that isn't big enough for the entire crew and the gurney to get in and out of. So that's why they prefer coming to Nashua. Same thing, St. Joe's doesn't have an LZ.
Right.
So it just makes sense to have a base at Nashua because they've used it so much. They've recently established a base in Portsmouth, Lawrence. But the more they looked at it, they realized that Nashua is the place they really need to be. So, Greg's in discussions with them as we speak. And by the way, Rick Tennant participated last year, the CEO, in our Wheels and Wings event. He was here for the whole event, and he was all excited. And he and Mark Honorato, the director, and they will both be here again this year. Happy to have them. On the 1st of July, I sold the John Deere Gator that we had out back and disposed of one of the Kawasaki mules. The Airport Authority purchased the Gator many years ago, and the Kawasaki was a government surplus acquisition. I got permission from the FAA to dispose of the Kawasaki mule. It essentially came out of Groton, New London, and I think it was used as boat anchor, so it was pretty much rotted away. We gave that to the gentleman at no cost. It's a parts vehicle, basically. And we sold the John Deere Gator for $1,500. On Friday, we're selling that same gentleman the Dodge pickup Outback with the plow that is just about completely rusted away, and again, it was a government surplus freebie that we got a few years ago. We've got permission to move that, and we're selling that for the value of the plow, basically $500.
So this is nothing that we need to replace, right?
No, this is just,
stuff that was in the way.
Right, I'm trying to clean out. Exactly.
Would you let the old motor grader?
I'm working on that. This gentleman worked for Caterpillar for a lifetime, and I showed it to him, and he's looking around trying to find a buyer for it. But he said it's going to be a tough one because the parts availability, it's probably worth more as scrap metal, which is why it hasn't moved yet. On another note, LY Infinity Aviation, as we all know, has officially closed on its property and FBO acquisitions at Nashua. So, again, we welcome them to Nashua. Their whole team was in here about a week ago. All the investors, part of their investment group, their equity investing group, and they get to see how Nashua works. And I understand that they were very impressed, and they had a beautiful day where they had lunch out on the deck at midfield. And it was a perfect day, and there was so much activity. It was almost like we're like, okay, get the airplane now. Yeah, but it was just they had amazing. Yeah, all right, 2-10 touch and go. It was the perfect day, and they really saw how Nashua operated, and they met all kinds of people up in the midfield, get a sense of our community here, and I think they're very happy with their acquisition, and again, we're happy to have them.
This the construction you're saying, they're already moving fuel operations from Regis down from how they are down to this building. That's what that construction is all about. Fuel down here.
In preparations for their developing the hangars right next door. So, and that's all I have. Anybody have any questions?
I got one question. Any feedback on our perimeter road?
A little bit. Yeah, not very positive, but be honest with you, it was, that letter was shared amongst the management staff, and apparently some people took exception to it and thought that I was not happy with how they were, management was taking care of the property and everything, and that wasn't the case, and I think it was misinterpreted, and that's how I explained it to them. I said, you guys have been more than cooperative with repairing the potholes, doing the infrastructure repair, the repairs, we're strictly trying to get the road paved. I have a great relationship with the city of Nashua, DPW, but it's not the management, the mid-management level people, the supervisors, et cetera, that make these decisions. And again, that's why this was brought to the Board of Aldermen's attention, the commissioner, the mayor, director of DPW and the mayor. And, you know, it's a higher level, but, you know.
Who is it? Who sits in a room and says, we're going to pave these roads this year? Who are the people that do that?
Who is there other? I mean, you and I have been through this.
No. I talked to her yesterday, got a phone call from my roads in this weird situation, whether it's going to be. It's a weird thing. It's like where they're stopping, where they're anything. So I flew a call into the city. I got a call back from one of the consultants that works on all paving, and I actually put a bug in his ear about it. But he kind of referred me back to the city engineer, so I'll get you his info, and maybe there's some digging we can do there, because they're the...
Dan Hudson is who I'm trying to meet with, because he's one of the head engineers. We have a project going on right now. They have a project here at the airport. There's a main sewer line that runs across the airport, and they're getting ready to clean it across the airport and possibly reline it. But we think that it doesn't need to be relined because it was done in 2012, Danny.
Yeah.
So Danny provided them all this information. They're going to come out and camera it and clean it. And while this is going on, you don't want to do that. Yeah. Excuse me. And while this is going on, Dan Hudson was supposed to be at the last meeting we have, and he was sick that day. And I was like, I really wanted to talk to Dan. But there's one of the things I've discussed with these other engineers, and they've all told me that everybody knows it. There was discussion in the past about this road being listed as a private way. It is not. And everybody I've talked to says, we know that's the case. So...
They're fixing the potholes.
Yeah, they're fixing the potholes. They fixed the sinkhole for me the other day. I had a sinkhole right beside the fuel farm that was pretty serious. A fuel truck ever flipped in there, and they came down, looked at it. They had a budget issue, just the timing that they had no budget money, so it took a week before they could get into the new fiscal, and then they repaired it immediately. And again, they own the infrastructure here. It's not a secret. And when they have a main sewer truck going across the field, they got a main water line going across the field, they got a bypass water line running down from Deerwood down to where your company is, Carl.
I'm sorry.
The name of the road?
Northwest Boulevard.
So we have a bypass line that the city owns down there with fire hydrants, et cetera. Yeah, it's no secret that the city owns the Nashua Airport. And again, the crews, the superintendents, the supervisors, all the crews that come down here, they're fantastic. I couldn't ask for a better relationship. My liaison to the city, as appointed by Lisa Foto, is a gentleman named Matt LeBlanc, and I can call him at any time. And he calls me back, whether it's a Sunday or a holiday or whatever it is.
That letter was addressed to all the... So what was the... course of that letter, where did it end up being presented? I know Tyler was here, the alderman was here, and he was going to present it to the alderman. Did that ever happen?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
Again?
Yeah,
right.
But whether Tyler presented it, I don't know.
I would like to think that if Tyler got back to Jess, that Jess would have told us what happened. So I'm assuming nothing happened. All right. But Tyler's running for alderman at large.
Yeah, I saw
that. So we might whip some votes for him if he does something.
I think we'll vote for him anyway. He's good.
Yeah.
brings us to the engineer's report.
My name is Danny Carrion. I'm a Gale Associate. Gale Associates is currently administering the three projects to the authority. First project is called Rehabilitate State Pathway Alpha and Associated Pathways. The confidential paving has completed the punctual plans for the project. They've seeded in the contracted paving area and a portion of the shoulder today. We will be able to close out the project once the grass is established. Comments or questions on that?
So, Danny, so the paving's all done. We got it. The total project cost here is $2,669,000. I just want to get a sense of how much of that has been actually funded. I mean,
funded.
Have we had built as Cottonell turned his invoices for this? The invoices go to you, right?
Yeah.
And you guys package it together and do the state submission.
Well, we just did one today in about 200, just over 200,000. That's up to signatures right now. They only are owed about $56,000 continental, roughly.
Okay, so over the course of this project, if you just submitted 200,000, roughly. So over the course of this project, we have actually you've been paid and we've been reimbursed for about $2,004,000 of it. Does that make sense?
You looking for how much money's been reimbursed to the?
Yeah, I just want to know where we are. So our balance sheet, our books, kind of. It's the words and the music, okay? You know, I want the two to match. So we just build the state. You guys just build the state, $200,000. It should be, I guess it doesn't go on our books until the state approves it. Is that how it works?
It doesn't go on our books until I have a reimbursement
request. But what's the thing you just said? Is that a reimbursement request?
It is, yeah. We just put that together at the same time. So once that's signed, that gets submitted by the airport authority.
Okay, so we start.
Yep. Then we submit it to FAA. HGOV for processing.
Yeah.
And they work it out with the FAA. So that's when you get the project back.
So after we sign it, it goes to Concord.
Yep.
And then is that when we book it?
Yes.
Okay.
After Chris signs it and you send it to Concord, that's when I put it in.
Okay. So that's when it goes in the building receivables project? Okay, well, you and I can talk about one. Okay. And then is there a retainage on this too? Should we hang out there for a while?
There is one. Yeah, until as you mentioned earlier. So they did succeed today, but we're gonna hold about $56,000 back, about 2.5% of the overall contract until the draft is established. Then once I've established everything's cleaned up, I think there was some rock out of the staging area.
That was done today.
They worked through.
Yep.
They finished most of the punctual work.
Right now, it's just the grass.
Okay. So once the grass has been established, we'll have at least the last 2.5% of our payment.
What you're saying is that right now it's about 56,000?
Yeah.
But 256 up to 267 would be theoretically what we have. Well, it should be in there. That's the thing. That's what I'm trying to.
Yeah.
You need to. We get surprised sometimes.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, we're getting more money. And then as far as the state share, that's all part of it. So then the local share, when do we know that?
I don't have the local share.
You what? That's right. They gave us a bunch.
I don't have that.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, you're going to screw all that system at some point before I'm trying to show up. Okay. Thank you. What's the next one? I'm going to have to take a question on the next one.
The second project is to relocate the AWOS and SOG. Power Electric, they wanted to start July 28th, but the reimbursable agreement for construction phase services with the FAA has not been established yet. We've been contacting them and just haven't got a response from them yet. There will need to be a reimbursable agreement in place with the FAA for construction to start. Coordination with the FAA fund is ongoing. Currently we're doing construction in the middle from Colony to the speed.
So that's directly with the FAA, that's not Concord?
Correct.
So this for this, so AWAS is direct, not part of the block grant process.
It is for the construction and the design, but there's a separate reimbursable agreement. So when the FAA, when we did the design of the project, the Airport Authority had a funky FAA a pot of money for their portion of the design to relocate the AWAS. They returned that, they left over funded, they didn't expend. We had talked about hopefully keeping that open so that we could just sort of roll it into the construction phase. However, they did send it back to close that portion. So we need to do the same thing except for the construction phase. If they need to come out and monitor the work and then do a portion of the work to make the AWAS complete. So we're trying to establish another reimbursable agreement with the Airport Authority to put the money out front first and then get reimbursed after they complete the work.
Okay, so is this $500,000, is that for the whole thing? Design and the construction? So how much of that has been spent on design?
I don't know that off the top of my head. I would say probably about $200,000 if I have it.
I remember $106,000.
That's what I saw a large invoice to them, but why are you getting things out? That is what we had to be on the question of $109,000 for that project.
Yeah, we were waiting for about $130,000 from NECOC.
So you've been paid, so the FAA, you've been paid that. So half of this $500,000 is $200,000 is already spent for it.
Mm-hmm.
So the construction part now, you say they gave it back to us?
So when it was the design for the A block, it was a reimbursable agreement for the FAA to oversee the design, participate in meetings, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
They estimate what they think it's going to cost. I want to say it was $50,000, $56,000. Of that, they spent the
$13,000.
Good estimating. Thank you. And they ended up returning the balance of that. They sent the check back to the National Airport.
$46,000.
So what do we do with it? So do we have money that doesn't belong to us?
No.
It's our money.
It's our money.
We pay it first.
Right.
It's reimbursable.
Okay. They give us $50,000, we're going to need it for this. And then they said, we only need 13.
Okay.
So here you go. Without interest. So now they're going to be like, we need $1 million.
We'll have to give it to them and what they don't use.
Right. Okay. Does it all sound very governmental? Right on. Yeah, I think I know less now than I did. But
okay, and nobody's picking up.
And this is all to move their equipment,
right? So, from an operational perspective, the abilities are now happening. I don't want this thing to be in their way.
It's not going to be.
Okay.
All right. Cool. And let me just add something here: is we're waiting on concurrence from the FAA. Whatever it is they need to do now. They proposed Scott and Cullen, the contractor, on the 28th of this month, and I insist on a 2-week notification because we have 3 days of runway shutdown. And if they can't give that, I can't start this project. There's too many people have to be notified, and we couldn't get a response out of the FAA, so it's no longer starting on the 28th. And whatever day they pick, again, we need a 2-week notice, and I've made that crystal clear with these guys. They know it. I put it in an email the other day that was CC'd to all the FAA people as well.
So you got no response to that email?
Zero. So that all of our tenants, all the transient corporate operators, everybody will have at least 2 weeks to make arrangements for the 3-day shutdown. That shutdown will be during the day between 7 and 5.
Are they consecutive days?
supposedly.
Yes. So no response.
Assuming nobody has a hiccup.
Sure, is it
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, the third project is the runway center line, correct?
This is my
there's no no update.
No update, Dave.
No update.
No update on that one. I think the next round of funding is July 20th, is what I heard. So we're expecting July 20th them to announce the next tranche of grant to be issued, and I'm expecting that.
And that grant comes from Concord?
It'll come from the FAA, essentially, to make DOT as the block grant date. That will then need to go through Governor Council for approval, the whole rigmarole. Thank you for acknowledging that, Commissioner.
At the top of the list for another week, it's the same old story.
And I guess one more thing that isn't in writing tonight, but we're waiting for an OFO for the tower. You know,
right.
We still have not heard anything about that.
Yep, that would be the...
Come on, Dave.
For an acronym.
So it'll be at least another couple chances at this to get funding for the actual construction of the tower.
A what?
You know, as pilots, we have the FRA and that, all these acronyms in it. The FAA's actual book is probably 10 times as thick as the FARA.
I was figuring out what SMH was on Facebook. Come on, don't you remember Aero? Aero did that?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I remember those, all those things.
But that actually means something.
Okay. LOL.
Right. I think Carol wants to move along.
Okay, thank you, Dan. So, let's see. That brings us to committees, of which we have none. Old business, we have none outstanding from the last meeting. No new business at the moment. Upcoming events, Chris has already mentioned Wheels and Wings on September 20th. So, let's see, that brings us to public input as we draw this meeting to a close.
Public?
You're a public.
You're the public.
You're a public.
You have the floor.
I don't know for a couple months. I have a $10 increase in my sign-up. I expected some answers. I hear nothing.
See?
Okay, if there's no public input, brings us to director's comments. I'll start with Joe.
Nothing specific this month?
Okay.
Welcome, LY, and those sledgehammer movement, and get this thing done.
Framing hammers.
Not sledgehammer, whatever.
No folks.
Have you ever seen what he builds?
I just don't have any specific comments this month. So, adjournment to non-public session pursuant to RSA 91-3-2D consideration of the acquisition, sale, or use of real estate or personal property. So,
So moved.
Okay. Second?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we are adjourned to non-public. Thank you.